Geocentric, episode 25.
Spiders, dogs, and David Beckham.
Far, far better rest I go to than I have ever
known.
Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Geocentric
is developing into a very bad habit.
You tell me that this sucker is nuclear?
Inconceivable!
With John Newman,
we have an obligation to fight them until they are vanished from the page of time.
Not a finger!
And Nate Long.
I don't have a really good feeling about what's to come.
Help! Help! I'm being betrayed!
Welcome to Geocentric. Yeah, what's up, kids? What
Welcome
was that?
Back world at what?
What'd you what say?
I said, yeah.
You said, yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Welcome back, world, to Geocentric, the hostile takeover of awkward silence. I'm John.
And I'm Nate.
And we have a great show planned out for you today. You can't see us, but during the intro song, we're always doing the Night at the Roxbury head thing.
But went to where?
What is love?
Went
Except
to
for
where?
To our own theme song. Nate does it better than I do. I wish I had a video.
Which, by the way, since we haven't given them a shout-out in a while, our theme song is by a band called Forsythe. Check
Great
them
band.
Out. MySpace.com/ForsytheRocks.
Nope, just slash Forsythe.
Oh, just slash Forsythe.
Yep,
oh.
yep. It's new.
Ah, I see.
So, they're a cool band. Check them out. They graciously donated that theme song for us a long time ago, and we've been using it ever since. Now, there's been a lot going on in the geocentric world these last couple of weeks over the holidays here. We have Christmas True. Coming up and whatnot. We have been actively working on our blog. So, if you haven't seen it for a while, go to the blog. There's some cool stuff happening. You can link to it from our website, which is www.bringthemagic.com/geocentric. Or you can just go to geocentricpodcast.blogspot.com. Now, from the website and from the blog, you can actually stream this podcast and subscribe to it, as well as find it on iTunes. So also don't forget to send us an MP3 comment at 206-337-1504 and to send us an email at geocentric@inbox.com.
Just to add something, now that we are so getting a little closer to Christmas, I think it's now safe to get the Christmas tree and the lights and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that before Thanksgiving, it's just not quite right.
Before what?
Thanksgiving.
What was it?
Thanksgiving. That's right. Thanks. Not thanks. Thanksgiving.
Do you realize you're making fun of everyone else besides you?
Yes, I do.
All right. That's fine. That's fine. So, yeah, we'll get out the Christmas tree now that it's finally acceptable to do so. We have our little geocentric Charlie Brown Christmas tree with the hanging over Christmas ornament sitting here.
That's right.
And ready to deliver some awesome content. So, Nate, you ready to tell us what's coming up on the show today?
Only if you cue the music.
Hold on. All right, it's cued. For Tech and Entertainment.
The pixie dust is back. Also, a woman is given a windpipe created in a laboratory. We'll even tell you about the new honeycomb tires that will take bombs and they won't get destroyed. Pretty sweet, huh?
That's awesome. Business, finance, and marketing.
We're going to tell you guys about advertising, and we're going to have a nice conversation about it and get you guys' opinions.
Current international events.
There's a spider in space, and he's lost.
And he's been lost for quite some time now.
So, danger, danger, danger.
Are you kidding me?
Organ man goes out on a hunting trip, and his dog shoots him.
I wonder if the dog's name is Dick Cheney. Sorry about that. How about Streetwise?
Top 10 useless college degrees and classes. We're going to tell you all about them.
And
we're also
going to
hit you up with our couple fails this week. Mm-hmm. We also have the Tech by Update with Ethan Clark. And we got some good stuff going down, so get ready.
Here we go, and launching right into it. Okay, you may remember, if you're an avid geocentric follower, back in, I believe it was episode 5 or 6, the title was Pixie Dust, Coups, Restraints, and Bad News.
I wasn't there.
That's a silent P on the end of coups, by the way. This was while Nate was on hiatus in Europe. And we talked about how
I
there
was... I
defined
myself.
Was it... What would you call that, a sabbatical or a... sojourn or...
I'd call it all those things. And a trip, even.
Fair enough. Okay, so there was this guy we talked about, and He deals with model airplanes, and a propeller had sliced off the tip of one of his fingers, and that includes his fingernail, a piece of his bone, and the whole tip there.
Yeah.
And there, the story came out about this guy and how he had found a doctor that was willing to do this experimental procedure, and they had created what they were calling at the time magic pixie dust. And the story said it was made from pig tissue, specifically from the liver, and that when put on this man's hurt finger, it actually regrew his fingertip and his fingernail and the piece of the bone and everything. So we thought that was a miracle. That was amazing. So not too long ago, this new story comes out, and this one's coming to us from crunchgear.com by John Biggs. And now we're dealing with something called nanoscaffolding. By using ultrafine polymer fibers, military researchers have been able to regrow damaged or missing organs and limbs. They will announce their findings officially this month. Now, I don't know if that's happened yet or if it's coming up. I haven't seen the story in the news whether or not they had the 26th Army Science Conference here in Florida yet, but they're going to announce their findings. But here's the funny thing about it. Here's where the story gets weird. One example, given by John Parmentola, a director of research and lab management, involved a man who lost the entire tip of his finger while starting up a model airplane. Quote, "That has been completely regrown, the nail, the bone, the tissue," he said. "There is one example of a young girl who was born without a sex organ, and that was regrown," he also said. So, first of all, let me ask you this question. How many people get a piece of their finger cut off by a model airplane propeller, and then by some miracle of science get it regrown?
Probably one guy.
Probably just one guy, although we don't have his name, right? So then my question to you is, why before was this doctors and their magic pixie dust made from pig tissue?
No, wait. Here's a possible explanation. Maybe the guy has fans, avid fans that want to imitate his every move. So they go and they start up a model airplane, get their finger cut off to the bone, throw this magic pixie dust on it, and get healed. That's possible.
Okay, but let's go with likely instead of possible.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Fair enough.
What's that law? It's like it's one of those like laws in science or in physics. I can't remember the name of it, but it's when you're left with a whole bunch of different solutions and you don't know which one it is, chances are, you should go with and think that it's the most likely.
I think you're talking about gravity.
No. There's a name. It's your most likely solution is probably the solution.
Oh, okay.
But anyways... moving on. So
we'll go with that version.
Yeah. So basically, I don't know. Maybe the Army was trying to cover up that they were doing something with nanopolymers or something.
I think it's possible. It's possible.
Do you know the definition of the word polymer?
I don't.
I tried looking this up, and apparently a polymer can be made out of anything.
Really?
I mean, under certain there are certain parameters around that, but.
Huh.
So maybe these polymers are made out of pig tissue. I don't know much about polymers in that world, but if anybody out there is a material science engineer, let us know whether or not a polymer can be made out of pig tissue. So maybe we can reconcile this, or maybe we can just say the Army's being weird again, at least not as weird as they were last time with their photoshopping those dead soldiers.
Seriously.
That was terrible. Anyway, that's all we have to say about that, except for the fact that it is certainly miraculous.
Yeah,
and the implications
really
of this
is.
Are huge.
It's incredible.
They're hoping, they don't know for sure, but they're hoping that in the future they'll be able to regrow entire limbs that have been lost in battles and such. So that'll be something to watch out for, something in your lifetime, hopefully.
That would be
cool. Amazing advancements with nanoscaffolding to regrow pieces of your body.
That'd be awesome. Sweet. Yeah. Well, let me interrupt you there, because this is kind of on the spot, but I want to throw in, on the spot, right here, without John even knowing, I want to throw in a new segment to our show, and I just literally thought of this as we were talking about this.
All right, what is it?
It's going to be our weekly bait.
I think it's a great idea.
Every week from now on, we're going to bait some popular blog or podcast and hope that by criticizing them, they'll respond to us and get us some good... old-fashioned publicity.
So then, to just go ahead and jump on the bandwagon, I'm going to say that you, if you are criticized by this show, should most certainly take it personally.
Absolutely, because we're definitely baiting you back. Here's the weekly bait. We are so much better, even though we got this story from them, than Crunch Gear.
And why are we so much better than Crunch Gear?
Just because... they haven't responded to the fact that I just said we're better than them. And unless they respond, I'm right.
Okay, so Crunch Gear, this is your official bait.
All right? Can come get us. Otherwise, we're right. Either we're better than you, or you have to come to us.
And if you don't criticize Geocentric back, then you admit that we are better than you.
Well, they don't have to criticize us back.
Well, what are they supposed to do then? How do you respond to the bait? Just by going,
you know, you guys are right. You know, you guys are right. Can we join you? Join forces for good.
And you're trying to accomplish this by baiting them. All right. Okay.
That's our weekly bait for you.
Next piece of stuff in tech and entertainment comes to us from CNN.com/health. We have a woman who was given a windpipe created in a laboratory. Nate, are you up
That's
on
awesome.
This story?
Yeah, a
run
little
us
bit.
Through it.
Okay, basically the woman's name is Claudia Castillo. She's
Not
30
bad.
Years old.
Not bad
Did
at
I pronounce
all.
That right?
Yeah, it was great.
I don't even speak Spanish, por favor. So this was considered a milestone in medicine. Basically, this woman, 30 years old, received a new windpipe from a laboratory, and it was engineered from her own stem cells.
This took place in London, correct?
Yes, that's correct. London, England. At least that's where the story was reported on.
Right.
So here's what happened. Basically, she was given a new section of the trachea, which, if you don't know, is an airway essential for breathing.
Yeah, that would be another word for your windpipe.
And one of the biggest tasks was that hopefully this trachea wouldn't be rejected by the body, because it is being artificially, in a sense, made.
And that's the cool thing about your own body's stem cells, right, is that there's little to no chance that your body could reject it, because it's your own tissue, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the trick here. Very cool.
So what happened is she suffered a severe lung collapse, and she has a condition that's caused by long-term tuberculosis. So she was trying, she wasn't even able to care for her children. It was a really, really bad problem that she had.
Mm-hmm.
Not very fun. So it says here the only conventional option was a major operation to remove her left lung. Which
yeah.
is a very risky procedure with a high mortality rate. That freaks me out just talking about it. It makes me want to stop talking.
You can't see him. He's actually folded his arms and he's protecting his chest.
I hate hearing stuff like this.
In case I pull out my knife and start going in there for his lung.
Don't take my lung, man. I hate doctor's offices. By the way, I want to say that the outcome of this was that it was a success. And they actually have a picture of this woman, Claudia. And she's smiling, happy, and she looks great.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and give credit. Here it is in the story, where this came from and who was able to pull
this
off. A team from the universities of Barcelona, Spain, Bristol, England, and Padua, Milan.
Padua?
Double ands there. Man, I hate it when ands
Padua,
are
Milan.
And Padua and Milan, Italy, decided instead to replace her lower trip, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's... teams from these different universities got together to figure out how to do this, and success. So now we have two ways of regrowing body parts.
Geocentric obviously wants to congratulate this team, and good job, guys.
That's
officially
right.
From Geocentric.
Which means a lot. You may not realize, but that means a lot.
Yeah. It's like the other side of baiting.
We're kind of like the Pulitzer Prize compliments. We're the Pulitzer Prize of compliments. So
cool.
We also have the Army doing another interesting trick these days. There's been a problem with the military in Iraq, especially with these IEDs, the improvised explosive devices,
aka roadside bombs.
Roadside bombs really just. Making it incapacitating vehicles, of course, killing people and stuff. So the Army's been working on a way to have their vehicles not be so affected by these roadside bombs. And what they came up with was a 37-inch tire that is an airless tire. It's a tubeless tire.
That's
basically
cool.
when you look at a picture of it, you can see all the way through the tire, because it's got the area where a hubcap would sit, but it doesn't need one. You've got your solid chunk of metal right there, and then there's this honeycomb structure that weaves its way outward until the outside casing that has the grips on it.
It looks really cool. By the way, if you want to see a picture of this, check out Gizmodo. I would bait them, but we have to save that for another week. Go to Gizmodo and search Honeycomb Tires Take a Lick. Yeah. And you can see a picture of this really cool looking tire. Almost looks like it's too good to be true, but it's real. And they actually armored these tires on Humvees, which is like the classic military vehicle. And basically what can happen is rounds of, you know, shotguns and rifles and even some explosives, it can actually go right, you know, it can take a Humvee out of battle at 50 miles an hour with these, which is really cool. And it also distributes the weight loads evenly, which helps out a lot. And what's really cool is that these tires are expected to reach the military entirely by 2011. Ironically, 2011 is the year that they're talking about getting out of Iraq, and maybe roadside bombs won't even be around anymore.
But now, but who knows what conflicts we may be in the future.
That's true. And that's the thing is,
hidden bombs trying to take out vehicles will be something that.
And the whole point of this is making our military safer wherever we may be.
Yeah.
Preparation. Even if we don't need these ever, then it's still good to have them.
Hey. All right. So. Should we move on to our first fail of the day?
Yes, this one's awesome.
So we have actually two fails for you this week. We're not going to do them in sequence, but this is our first one. This is a great one. Again, coming to us, we talked about something great that happened in England. Now we're going to talk about something ridiculous that happened in England. Nate, take it away.
It's a really pretty funny story. Here's how the headline is. Graffiti wall is vandalized, which we can immediately say to that headline, fail, right? Now, here's the story. Basically, there's this big wall that's built. What's so funny?
Just graffiti wall is vandalized.
Oh, you're looking at your phone when you left.
Oh, sorry.
Cutting a deal with Crunch Gear.
Let me just cut in. It's getting close to time to have that baby.
Oh.
I mentioned on the very first episode that I had a baby on the way.
Yeah.
Which means it's been about 9 months since we started this show.
Where's the baby?
It's on its way. So that's why I keep looking at my phone. If I get a text from my wife, it's important these days.
So that's what the phone was.
Yeah.
Not a problem. In fact, we should have, you mind if I say the baby's name?
No, go ahead.
Kylie, really cool name. Baby girl. We should have her on the show and just have her like say something in the microphone.
Like
be a yeah. If we can get that out of her.
Oh, I'm
you know,
sure she'd be
I gotta
happy
tell
to
you
whenever
something.
She's born.
We're going way
taking
off
her
the
own
subject,
sweet time.
But it's all right because I gotta tell you about this girl at work, what she said the other day. I called her evil for it.
Okay.
She said how she enjoys slightly hurting babies because she likes to see if they're really cute, because you know if a baby's really cute, depending on how they cry. And if they cry cute, then they're really cute.
That's a good point. Still evil, but...
Still evil because you have to hurt them to get it out of them. So I just wanted to bring that up. Back to the fail wall.
Remember, graffiti wall is vandalized. Great headline.
So they build this wall to let, you know, teenage graffiti artists express themselves. Well, they don't realize there's walls all over the place for them to do that.
But the point is, this is supposed to be a legal area where, hey, instead of vandalizing so-and-so's property, here's a wall
here's
for
a
you
way
to,
that you can,
to put your art on.
Yeah, you can put your art on this wall. And so basically, the first person to put graffiti on this wall wrote this. I paid my tax, and all I got was this lousy wall.
And then they followed it with two exclamation marks and tons of periods like dot, dot,
so,
dot,
so this
dot,
guy,
dot,
this guy was trying to make a statement, trying to be funny at the same time. And this is how the story reported, and this is where it goes from fail to epic fail. By the way, you should check out the fail blog. This
dot
is where
org.
We get all this good
failblog.
Stuff. It's amazing.
Org.
We want to give credit where it's due. Here's what we got. A blank wall built for teenage graffiti artists has been vandalized by an angry resident writing, quote, I paid my tax and all I got was this lousy wall. Except they left out the exclamation marks in the story. The 3,000 pounds,
as in it cost
high,
3,000 British pounds.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. The 3,000 pound, 6 foot high by 30 foot long wall was installed so youth could practice their graffiti artwork without using local property. So basically, you know, you get to express yourself and put it on this graffiti wall, which is the point of it. But now they're saying, but now it is going to cost that taxpayer. As we will have to crime it, investigate it, and paint over it. Wow. Epic fail. So a wall that was built to have graffiti on it is now being vandalized for having graffiti on it. Fail. And a half.
Ridiculous.
All right. Moving on then, we're going to go into our marketing
business
section.
Finance and marketing section. We're going to talk about a new concept that is sweeping the internet called askvertising. So right. A little play on words with advertising and asking.
Indeed. And basically what askvertising is when you go to some of these websites and they might be, for example, photographer websites or, you know, really specific niche websites like Geocentric.
For example.
Yeah.
Although we haven't ventured into askvertising yet, but we'll talk about that.
Basically what that is you have a lot of blogs, podcasts, websites, etc. They like to get sponsorships, which we don't have any yet, besides the fact that we were donated a cool theme song, except for
Google AdSense.
Yeah. And the website, but we don't have actual money coming to us. No revenues, unfortunately. That's why we're baiting. So, text message. Cha-cha?
Ignorable. This one's ignorable.
I'm just kidding. We don't have a stump cha-cha this week, because last time they got really offended when John finished the show by saying some crude remarks. By the way, did you notice anything different about a couple shows ago?
I don't want to talk about it.
All right, fair enough. All right, so here's what you have. You know, you have these advertisers that are willing to pay money to advertise on these sites. And what some sites are doing is saying, hey, if you want to support this site, check out our loyal sponsors. And they might have Dell or, you know, Best Buy or Circuit City on there. And they're saying, by shopping at these places, you're supporting our site.
Yeah, or now, for example, this site is able to be maintained because of the money we get from our sponsors. Please help us out by clicking one of the ads. And they'll actually ask you straight up to click one of the ads.
They'll ask you straight up. And another way is to say...
I'm sure everybody's seen this by now, probably. I've seen this a million times.
Oh, yeah. It's getting a lot bigger. Another good example is... if you were to see this on Geocentric's website, support Geocentric by shopping here. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes almost like an endorsement / advertisement.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, first of all, and we're taking this really interesting discussion from the Influential Marketing blog, which is a really cool blog that I subscribe to, and you guys should all check it out. Basically... There's three possible benefits to this. First of all, you have ads that are more relevant to the users because they're going to say, for example, let's take what's a topic, a really specific niche, cars.
Okay.
Car repair blogs might say, you know, to support us, check out such and such a product that will, you know, whatever.
Right.
So basically, it becomes relevant. The ads are things that
the consumers might actually click on
because they're there in the first place. Second of all, since it's kind of like an endorsement, it becomes more convincing because there's many consumers. In fact, advertising is probably the most mistrusted form of communications, medium that you can get your message across. Because the thing is, advertising, the people paying for it can say whatever they want.
Right.
It's not like they have third parties that are fact-checking or anything. They just pay their fee and make their images and videos look cool, and that's it. So a lot of people are skeptical when they see straight-up advertisements. So one of the good things about askvertisements would be that it would almost be like an endorsement. And when you have a third party jump on that, it makes things way more credible.
Yeah.
And you can imagine if John at Geocentric were to say, hey, guys... I recommend you check out this blog. I don't know about you, but I'd be subscribing right now. Okay, maybe not quite that intense, but pretty close. I'd definitely subscribe to it before I subscribe to Crunch Gear. the third benefit that you have is better ROI, which is return on investment.
Yeah.
And basically what that has to do with is click rates, cost per click, and basically they're getting more for their advertising dollars because only people interested are going to click in it, and they're going to get more from that click. So you're getting a lot better ROI. So let's talk about the... he's pointing to something funny on there. That'll be one of our future baits.
All right.
Okay. Well, we have... but what's a possible downfall of askvertising?
Well, the thing is, if... let's say I do some askvertising. Let's say I put some of that up on the Geocentric website, right? please support Geocentric by clicking on this ad. And let's say it takes you to a place that gives you all kinds of spyware and viruses on your computer, or you have a bad experience with that company, then what that's also going to do is that's going to backfire on me, and now you're going to trust me a little bit less.
Here's what I think. If nothing else, advertising should be a lot more expensive than advertising for advertisers.
No, that
they
makes
should
perfect
have to pay
sense.
More right. for advertising mm-hmm. because they're getting a lot more out of it, and there's a higher risk. For like you said, for the blogger, the podcaster, etc., there's a higher risk for them to do that type of advertising. Whereas if they slap an advertisement on their site, they can say, oh, it was just randomly generated. Like, I didn't endorse that crap. Right. It's an advertisement. They paid for it. So that's one of the possible things that could be a downfall of it. Another one is that some of these bloggers, especially the top ones out there, their livelihood is based on their blogs and podcasts and websites and everything else. Now, we don't have any revenue for this podcast, so we have jobs on top of this. But some people get to the point where they can actually make some, you know, make some revenue.
Right.
Bring some money in, and they can actually have a career based on that. So here's the problem is when you have someone that their dollars, their revenue is based on people clicking the ads that they put up there, the ones that they ask for them to click, it almost becomes like a conflict of interest. You know what I mean? Well, of course you're going to tell me to click that because by clicking that, it gives you more money. So it almost becomes a little less biased.
Right.
It's not a third-party editorial because you have that conflict of interest there. So
yeah, unless there was some way that you could guarantee. Like, there's a certain radio host, I can't remember who it is because I listen to about a million of them. But he basically, all the ads on his site are, he goes out of his way to tell you that he doesn't advertise anybody that he doesn't personally do business with. And so if there's a way to confirm that, I think then, you know, there's a way to overcome that particular challenge. If there was some way that I could say, use them because I use them, and then you were to somehow know that I did. If there's a way to do that, then I think that would be a good way to overcome that challenge.
And a good point is that Geocentric has actually done some informal endorsements. I wouldn't call them endorsements because we've never gotten paid for them. But there are certain products that we like so much that even though...
Recommendations.
They're more like recommendations. Even though they would probably never hear that we said that or pay us for saying that, we still feel that they're good products, and we have done some recommendations, but that's personal, and you can know that that's actually coming from our personal opinions and not influenced by money or anything else. And so the problem with advertising comes in a little bit when money starts to get involved, then things start to get a little, the line between advertising and editorializing becomes grayer, right?
Right.
And so that's basically what the argument is. What do you guys think? What if Geocentric were to start putting advertisements, which is definitely a possibility if we
Certainly.
Were given the opportunity, we will sell out in a heartbeat.
you have threatened to sell out so many times on this show.
Before we even received a single penny. So
Nate is just waiting for any chance to sell out.
As soon as we get $10, I'm going to say, all right, John, I'm buying out. Find another host. So what would you think if we were to say, all right, and we would be honest about it, by the way. That's the thing is, first of all, there's no dishonesty going on here
you
with the ones
have
that do that.
To trust
we would
us.
Say we would say, hey, these guys are paying us to do this.
Right.
So, you know, by supporting them, you are supporting us because ads and everything else. What would you think if we did that? Would you think our opinions are less real? They're less biased? What do you think about that? And you can hit us up by emailing us at geocentric@inbox.com or calling.
Oh, come on. You don't want to try
206
to say it. You can do it.
337-1504.
Yeah, he got it. He got it. That's the first time Nate's got it. Granted, he never says it. It's usually me, so he hasn't had as much opportunity to memorize.
That's a good way. All you have to do is call that phone number, leave us a message, and we'll actually play the audio clip here on the show. So let us know what you think about this, because it's a pretty good topic to talk about, and mm-hmm. could be kind of the future of some online advertising mm-hmm. of one form.
Well, it's the present at least, so we'll see how far it goes.
Yeah, definitely. So, what are we doing now?
Current international events.
Current international events. This is actually beyond the earth.
This is great. International as far as Yeah, like you said, beyond the Earth. And as far as I know, there's only one space station. Isn't it the International Space Station? Isn't that the only one?
Now, if we're being idiots on this, feel free to call us out, but I think you're right.
Well, this story, which comes to us from ABC News, just says the space station. So yeah.
I don't know of any other
ones. The space station is. I think it's the internet.
Besides
which we
mine.
Share with Russia,
I mean, there is my space station,
which is interesting.
That.
Interesting that we share that with Russia. I can't believe it's the first time I've thought about this. I wonder how relations are going up on that space station with the new tensions between the United States and Russia. Yeah. Anyway, so let's say you wanted to do an experiment. You wanted to see how spiders would react in zero gravity, right? Well, you might take some spiders up into space with you and see how they spin webs. And as you monitor the spiders, you might see that normally, whereas on Earth, they spin this nice two-dimensional web, you know, a flat surface interwoven.
Really nice art almost.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, and I just said whereas twice for the, anyways. Or, well, like they do in, it turns out, in zero gravity, they spin these three-dimensional webs that are just kind of this mess of tangle going up and down and left and right and back and forth. Yeah. Just kind of like this big airy ball of web, right? And you would do experiments and you would write this down, and then one day you might wake up, go to check on the spiders and see that they're gone.
What? They're gone.
And this is a true story. Two spiders have gone missing on the International Space Station. And the scientists are confident that surely they'll find them. However, as of now, they have no idea where they are. And chances are when they do find them, the story won't come out. It's only interesting because they're lost. They've gone AWOL, as the story says. Now, here's the thing.
I like the term, they got loose.
They got loose. Because here's why. Anything outside the Earth's atmosphere is subject to crazy bursts of charged particles from the sun, right? Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure that on the space station they have equipment, and what it does is it basically sounds an alert and says incoming, and they have to get in this room that's like it's insulated, I think, with lead and stuff to try and insulate them from these charged particles until the burst is over. Now, these things come from the sun all the time, but they're directed by the Earth's magnetic field up to the poles, and when they interact with the atmosphere, you see the northern lights and whatnot. But
all that good stuff.
So, but the spiders will not understand the alerts and will not run to the insulated capsule.
So will they die?
Or will they become
much worse,
mutated
super spiders?
Super spiders.
Seriously, this is going to be like the real life version of Alien.
And when that space station crashes to the ground one day far in the future, as it inevitably will, because sci-fi is the future, of course.
Two mega spiders will crawl out
and they
among
will
the rubble.
Spread their posterity amongst the species of Earth, mutating and eating and killing and taking over. Obviously, wouldn't you say?
Probably. I would say 99% chance. That's what's going to happen.
That's about what I'm predicting. Or one of these guys on the space station will be bitten by a radioactive mutated spider. And we all know what happens when you get bitten by a radioactive mutated spider.
I really don't like Spider-Man at all.
Yeah, but
are you saying there's going to be a bunch of Spider-Men?
Regardless of whether or not
you like it, how much that would suck?
It's a scientific fact.
What if there was
when you get bit by a radioactive spider,
you can shoot
webs from your wrists and jump and
you
crawl
know, I would hate
stuff.
Life. Imagine if there was like a million spider. Would you say Spider-Men or Spider-Mans? Because it's Spider-Man plural, but you wouldn't say Spider-Men because the singular is Spider-Man. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but I would still go with Spider-Men.
Here's why I would hate my life. If there is a million which one did you agree with? Spider-Mans.
Men, I said
Spider-Men. If there's a million Spider-Men running around the Earth,
because
just imagine how many of those stupid one-liners you'd hear every day. The whole Earth would be overrun with stupid, crappy Spider-Man one-liners. By the way, I'm a big fan of a lot of heroes out there and a lot of... I'm a big Batman fan, but I freaking hate Spider-Man.
Jeez.
I can't stand him. He's like seriously the most annoying
hero. You should see Nate.
Hero.
His face is getting all red. His eyes are bloodshot. Smoke
they
coming
are.
Out of his ears.
Literally.
Spitting all over the microphone of my computer
and,
screen again.
That was you. That was you.
That was you. That was not me.
And, I think I would hate life. I'd have to, like, I don't know, I'd have to come up with some enemy of Spider-Man to fight him with.
Some sort of a Doctor Doom. Yeah, no, that's Fantastic Four, isn't it?
I basically have to
who
go
the heck
into
is this. Oh, Doc Ock.
Maybe
Doc
you could like take a fish into space and crash that, and then
that
mix
goblin
that,
guy.
And then it'd be like Fishman versus Spider-Man.
And we've taken this way too far.
Yeah, we have.
That's
all right.
Fun.
Fair enough.
We have another fail.
Oh wait,
for
wait,
you
wait,
today.
Wait. Here's the thing, though. I just want to reassure you, though, because although this is a 99% chance that this whole spider mutating, killing all the humans thing will happen,
0.9, 99.9.
Those on the space station are actually they assure us that everything's okay. And this is a pretty funny quote. Quote. This is flight director Ginger Carrick. The way it was explained to me is that he is a backup spider. The one that got loose. And he has his own contained space on board. And he had moved out of that area. We think he came out of his bedroom and is in the living room of his house. What the crap? So this spider has his own house in space. Meanwhile, there's people all over the world that are starving to death. And this guy has a living room. This spider has a living room.
I love that you said this guy, because the way that quote is, he's got his own living space. He's just a backup spider. Like he's some like Larry Bum spider just chilling like, ah.
What you didn't know is while the man was giving this quote to calm Earth's population, he was shaking in his bloody boots. Hoping the spider wouldn't kill him at any second. So, moving on.
All right.
Let's go to another fail, shall we?
Here's our second fail. Now, this one comes to us from the dreaded halls of September 11th. And even though we like to be kind of funny with these things, we should obviously, you know, make the caveat that we should have respect for the people
absolutely.
Who died in that and everything. That being said, Geocentric's third official prune. It comes to us from this guy. All right. This is out of a newspaper. And the sad thing with the failblog.org is they just give you little clips of images and you can't always see the title of the source, but this is certainly newsprint. The first divorce directly related to the September 11th terrorist attacks has been filed in New York. It appears a guy with an office on the 103rd floor of the World Trade Center spent the morning at his girlfriend's apartment with his phone turned off. He wasn't watching TV either. When he turned his phone back on at about 11 a.m., it rang immediately. It was his hysterical wife. "Are you okay? Where are you?" He said, "What do you mean? I'm in my office, of course."
Fail! For so many reasons.
So, this idiot decided, well, at least he's lucky enough to not be in his office, but stupid enough to be cheating on his wife and then get caught because of September 11th. Of all the things that could lead you to be caught cheating, the World Trade Center falling down.
I'm at my office.
Attacked by terrorists.
No, you're not.
I'm pretty sure your office is all over New York City right now.
Yeah, that's once again, it's like a joke, but then again, it's hard to laugh too much because, again, that really did happen. But that is a fail, and I like the third official geocentric prune right there.
Yeah, not that we're keeping a list or anything.
Well, who is one? Who are the other ones? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Putin was probably one of them.
Yeah, he was one. Oh, and then the guy...
Hitler.
No, it wasn't Hitler.
Hitler will be our fourth one, because I got to tell you guys, they actually... this was a couple weeks back
now. This is a great story.
But they actually have enough records now that they, being the all-knowing people that confirm reports, say that it is true, the rumors that were circulated.
It was the homeless guy who set fire to all that stuff in California and then got fined $100 million.
He was a prune. So... There were rumors going around that this was true, but they actually found out that indeed Hitler actually only had one testicle.
Why?
It was shot off.
And how did he react when the medics came to help him?
He screamed at the top of his lungs. This is according to the record that the witness said that he was screaming, "Help me! Help me! Help me!"
Now, of course, if the same thing had happened to me, I would probably be doing the same thing. But any excuse to make fun of Hitler for being a whiny prune is a good one, in my opinion.
That's right. So he's a uniball.
Okay, so are you kidding me, news? Oregon man shot by dog during hunting trip. Comes out of Portland.
Indeed.
And apparently Nate's lost his tab.
I already
on
closed
Firefox.
That one on accident.
All right, so this is
by accident.
Are you kidding me?
I hate that. Sometimes I say on accident because you say on purpose, and so you say on accident. That's dumb. Because you
Wait,
say by
is that,
accident.
Is that incorrect officially to say on accident?
Whether it's not or not.
So whether it is or not.
It's still, I'm trying to break myself of the habit. I'm currently on some kind of patch that'll help me out.
Here's another one for you. Things happen in the morning, in the daytime, in the afternoon, at night. Another kind of a weird thing that we do.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's this comes out of us out of Portland, Oregon. Basically, there was this happened at the Tillamook Bay. Tillamook makes some great butter, by the way.
Really?
And cheese. If you
never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't think that they have that brand out here in Florida. But if you guys, I like Tillamook.
Is that a recommendation, an endorsement, or
yeah,
an aspartizer?
If you guys have Tillamook where you live, try it out. It's a pretty good tasting brand. Anyway,
who you got the call from just now?
No. No.
Okay.
beginning of duck hunting season, and there's a guy, his name is Henry Markham, and he was out at the beginning of duck hunting season, with his son Matthew. And they were standing in the bay, you know, just waiting to shoot some ducks, and their dog jumped into the boat, setting off their 12-gauge shotgun, which proceeded to fire projectiles through the side of the boat and into the, quote, legs and buttocks of Henry Markham.
At least he got shot in a good place.
Oh, yeah. Great place to be shot.
Well, I mean,
legs
it's better than, getting your arm shot off.
Yeah, or whatever happened to Hitler, right?
Yeah,
it could have happened to Henry as well. But anyway, he's being treated or was treated at Legacy Emmanuel Hospital. And I assume that he's going to make a pretty decent recovery. I mean, it wasn't life-threatening. He's going to have some scarring probably or whatever. But Henry Markham says he's not angry with the dog, and neither is his son. The elder Markham says the Labrador, named Drake, is a good dog, and the shooting is, quote, just one of those things.
Are you kidding me?
It's one of those things that
it's
dogs
just one
do.
Of those things. You
sometimes
know, sometimes
dogs shoot
you.
With a shotgun. It just happens.
It just happens.
Happens to the best
a good
of us.
Dog. Dogs will be dogs.
Burr.
All right, so we got our last thing with coming to you, which is Streetwise. Mm-hmm. This is the top 10 useless college degrees and classes. So I'll do the evens, you do the odds.
All right.
We'll start with number 10. This is real stuff, by the way, and we're going to tell you
These
where it comes from.
Real college degrees and classes. And this comes to us, by the way, from top10s.net.
All right, number 10, David Beckham Studies.
Is that for real?
It is. It comes from Staffordshire or Staffordshire. How would you pronounce it?
My guess would be Staffordshire.
Okay, that's how I would say it too. University, which is, of course,
UK.
In the UK. Now, this is really true because it's technically classed football culture, but basically it's has celebrity-ish type things in there.
Well,
and it's
still,
become
what are you
going to
do
Beckham.
With a football culture degree?
You could watch... And by the way, when we say football, we mean
soccer. Yeah, because this is England we're talking about.
And like the rest of the world, besides America, they got it wrong and called it football.
Yeah, regardless of the fact that you use your feet, and in American football, you use your feet not nearly as much.
You're still wrong.
Yeah, you guys are wrong over there.
So that's one for
All right, number 9, parapsychology. Various colleges actually offer this. And for those of you that don't know, parapsychology is basically psychicness. And this, if you remember Ghostbusters, in the movie Ghostbusters, the Bill Murray's character, what was his name? Peter Venkman? Yes.
Yeah.
Peter Venkman, at the beginning, he's got two people, two students, and he's doing some research, and he holds up a little card, and they can't see what's on it, but it could be a circle, a plus sign, some wavy lines, a square, or a star, and they have to guess what it is, and if they're wrong, he shocks them, and if they're right, he just moves on to the next person. He's got a guy and a girl, and the girl, no matter what she says, he tells her she's right, because he's trying to get a date with her, and no matter what the guy says, he shocks him.
Because it's her boyfriend.
Anyway, yeah, so this is parapsychology. Basically, the idea is you can use your psychic powers to discover what's on the backside of the card. Anyway, this course is dedicated to the study of the paranormal. It's popping up in universities and colleges worldwide. Coventry, Edinburgh, Northampton, and Liverpool in the UK, plus Belford and Flamel in the United States all offer the course.
By the way, we're getting this pretty cool top 10 list from a new site that we found tonight called toptens.net. That's toptnz.net. Check it out. You'll find some cool stuff. You might even find some stuff that we'll be talking about in the future. All right. Number 8, a doctorate of philosophy in ufology. Or you can call it ufology.
It's actually, I believe the official pronunciation is ufology.
Ufology, which is the philosophy of UFOs.
Well, doctorate of philosophy means PhD, right? Person who's dumb. PhD in ufology.
Person who's dumb. And this is at Melbourne University. So yeah, basically, let's get the quote on this. When I meet someone who says they've seen something strange, that's fair enough, because maybe they have. I don't know what it is, though.
And that is a quote from a real PhD ufologist. All right.
So that's why the course is there.
It takes 8 years of schooling to be able to make a statement like that. Okay, now this next one, Nate did this to me on purpose. He didn't want to have to say it. Okay, the reason we're going to keep this and not edit it out is because it's not a joke. It's for real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to keep our iTunes clean rating for this. We're not going to say anything dirty. This is for real. But basically, the class is The Phallus from Occidental College. It's difficult to get... No, I'm not even going to read this because... the course is cited as studies, quote, between the phallus and the penis, the meaning of the phallus, phallologocentrism, I think I said that right, the lesbian phallus, the Jewish phallus, the Latino phallus, and the relation of the phallus and fetishism. It's actually a survey offered by the Distinguished Colleges Department
Seems like they
of
left
Critical
a lot
Theory
of stuff
and Social
out,
Justice.
Yeah, they're really specific, but left a lot of stuff
yeah,
out.
Yeah, there are many other classes of phalli that were not included.
By the way,
in that
let
definition.
Us know if that really is the plural of phallus. Is it phalli? I don't know.
Maybe it's one of the fallacies. Might be one of those.
Fallacies. That would be a...
No, that's the
yeah,
plural
that's a real
of,
word.
Of fallacy.
Yeah, exactly. Huh, who knows?
Weird that those two sound so similar.
Also at Melbourne and Plymouth, there's surfing studies. Most excellent! That's pretty cool. So all we got to say is...
You were supposed to come in and help me do the wipeout music.
Oh. Wipeout. Is that it? Yeah. Surfing studies. You can actually take a class, learn how to surf, get better at surfing, or just get a good grade because you know how to surf. That sounds pretty cool to me.
Yep. Number 5, they're picking on philosophy in general.
Oh, come on.
According to this blog, you can't do anything with philosophy. It's entirely useless. What's funny is Nate and I both are very well acquainted with the Florida State University. And it's funny, when you go to the philosophy department's website, there's a section that says, what can I do with a degree in philosophy?
Teach.
And you click on it. Basically, what they say is, well, you can do lots with philosophy. Most of our students go on to earn advanced degrees in other subjects. And I was like, what?
It's one of those courses that you just study so you can eventually be the professor. Because that's about the only way you can make money.
I recommend learning philosophy because knowing... The ideas that have been around, different points of view and stuff, can help you out a lot just in your own thinking and your
thinking.
Own understanding,
yeah, it's,
which
it's
I think is great. But as far as making money from a philosophy
basing
degree,
your career on that, yeah, might not be your best investment in college. Number 4, queer musicology. This is offered at UCLA. Due to seemingly popular demand, the UCLA have actually combined queer theory, which is a study of gender,
now,
feminism,
before,
and gayness.
Before anybody said, like, accuses us of being insensitive and using the word queer, this is not
this
the
is, no, this is what it's
word.
Actually
this
called.
This is the actual word being used here.
That's right. Well, the thing is, I don't know how offensive that word is anyways, because you also have, like, the... Yeah, you know, that show that comes on called The Queer Eye.
There are certain words that, depending on who says them and depending on who hears person say them, can may or may not be offensive.
So, like speaking about phalli, we're speaking about this course as it is.
Quite so.
And this is at the Herb Alpert School of Music. The LA Times reported that the course will introduce debates like, quote, the idea that if you're gay, then music by gay composers such as Benjamin Britten will sound different to you than if it were straight.
Than if you were straight.
Than if you were straight.
Because the music itself isn't going to be gay, right? Can music be gay? There's another good debate.
Well,
can a product produced by a person who's gay also be gay?
No. I would say that it's like the They're talking about the person that wrote it, not the music itself. How can music be straight or gay?
I'll tell you. I know that sounded really weird.
Yes,
but
it did.
From the anthropology perspective, there's a lot to be said for gay culture, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you use the word gay in that broad of a sense, then things that come out of that culture could also have that label applied to them. But do you think that should happen or not, or whatever? Are the questions you would ask? But yeah, okay, it's my turn, isn't it? Okay, the next useless class, Star Trek, offered by the Georgetown University in Washington. Actually, it's not a class, it's a degree. Star Trek degree. That makes it even
more fail.
That's
a degree you can do a lot with.
The philosophy of the faculty there argues that Star Trek is very philosophical. What a better way than to learn philosophy than to watch Star Trek, read philosophy, and hash it all out in class. So basically, now it's funny that they should say that, because there actually is some deep philosophy that you've actually... I remember you and I had a conversation about...
Not about Star Trek,
but about something that's covered in Star Trek. I don't know if they debate it philosophically in Star Trek, but the question of... Basically... I read somewhere, I saw on TV or something, on like a documentary, that the way the beam me up machine works is that it creates a copy of your thoughts or whatever on the computer, destroys your body where it is, and then makes a new copy of your body when it beams you up.
It's kind of like a certain movie that I don't want to say, because if you know that about the movie, it ruins it.
Right.
So I'm not going to say the movie's title, but there's a movie.
Right. So the question then is, if your body is destroyed and your memories are copied onto a computer and then recreated in a new place,
Are you really the same person?
Mm-hmm. What about the soul? All kinds of things
like that.
It goes back,
the basic argument of body and soul and do we have
souls?
So
there is some philosophy in Star Trek. However, I don't think I don't know if I would go with the Star Trek degree.
I want to walk into a room in one of these classes, Star Trek classes, and just walk in and go, "Fetchy nerds!" Like a ninja, I would do it. Yeah. All right, number two, golf management. This is at the University of Birmingham and Florida Gulf Coast University. Basically, it covers the psychology of golf, equipment technology, financial performance, and coach education.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds interesting.
Fun.
So, if you're not good enough to play golf as a career, then go into golf management and maybe you get some good stuff out of that. I could actually see a job coming out of that, believe it or not.
I don't understand why that's number two and they feel like it's more useless.
Seriously,
than
I actually think you get a lot of
ufology or David Beckham
studies. I think a lot of people would hire you from you know, different equipment makers might hire you or maybe a club. I don't know.
There's plenty of good stuff you can do with that. I think that's ridiculous. All right, number one, which I don't feel like deserves to be number one. And for those of you who are trivia buffs and you know your movies, this one is actually a degree that was mentioned in a Brad Pitt movie. I think it was called Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yep.
With Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
I was going to say, I knew that.
When they're finally divulging all the truth about themselves to each other, Brad Pitt's character says that this was the degree that he earned in college. Does anybody remember? And the answer is art history. And he said, "What? It's a real degree," or something like that.
Yeah.
She gave him a funny look.
That was good. I like that movie.
Yeah. So, and then the guy who writes this blog says, "What career would you ever get with a degree in art history? Maybe an art gallery curator, but how many of those does the world actually need?" Another one that
if you go to Paris, you can have a decent chance.
But don't you have to be like in secret societies and that perform like weird rituals to try and...
That's Da Vinci Code.
Oh. To work in the loop. anyways, another one that might be comparative to art history as far as what you can do with it, in my mind, is comparative literature. Who honestly wants to hire somebody to compare two books together and see what's similar about them?
Burr, burr, burr. By the way, I actually missed this the first time. We actually have some honorable mentions that didn't quite make the top 10 list, but hey, there's actually some good ones.
You can
the first,
say the first
one
I'll
is
say the
the
other one.
At Frostburg University, the science of Harry Potter.
As if there freaking was any science.
This is in Maryland.
Harry Potter. I would like to sit in on that class one day just to
hear
what they have to
say. It's basically a physics class that investigates the supposed magic of Harry Potter.
So it's like basically the guy says, now if this were to happen, this is what would have to be the circumstances, and this is his physics guys move like this.
Here's what I'll tell you what would really happen in that class. You walk into class and the professor goes, all right, I'm throwing in Harry Potter. See you guys later. No class for the next 3 weeks. And all the students are like, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. And the next one is from Pitzer College. The class is Learning from YouTube. Basically, TechCrunch.
Which sucks.
No, we're baiting Crunch Gear.
Oh, Crunch Gear, you're right. Not TechCrunch. I love TechCrunch. It's amazing.
TechCrunch reports that the class consists of students watching YouTube videos and then discussing them.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but not for a class. They also leave comments on the videos. That's a great class.
So that's where all those ninjas come from. They just want the quick grade. You're dumb. Well, folks, that about wraps up our show for the day.
That's right. So we're going to leave you off with some new music. Now, we featured this band once before. We're going to feature another song of theirs. They're an Italian band, and we're helping them to gain a larger audience here in the United States.
They did give us another song, so we're going to help them out. That's awesome.
This is another one that's actually in Italian. The one we played you before was in Italian, and so is this one. But if you visit their MySpace, which is myspace.com/melodyfall, which is in English, Melody Fall,
cool.
You'll see they do have some songs that are in English, too. So you can check them out. The song is called Salva Me, which means save me. Again, the artist is Melody Fall after the self-titled album. MySpace.com/Melody Fall. Check them out. Very, very cool band, and it's always fun to hear a song in another language.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But I'm part Italian.
Are you?
Yeah, 1/8. 1/8 Italian.
I have an ancestor that at some point lived in Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there's actually any Italian blood in there. Of course, once you go back that far... Well, once you go back so far, it's like everybody's the same thing anyway. So.
Everybody's the same thing anyways.
Well, all the Latin-based cultures and all the Germanic-based cultures all came out of Indo-European. So did, Hindi and all that stuff. Indo-Europeans, all of them. So once you go back far enough, it's all the same
Indiana Jones, too. Anyways.
Yeah. So that's all we have for the show. Hope you enjoyed it. And have a nice day.
Later on.
Have a nice day. What the heck was that?
Vuoti di memoria e stabilità, amnesia totale, false realtà, nervosismo puro, felicità, cambio personalità. Dicono di me che sono fuori, perché non li ascolto da un po'. Dubito di tutto ciò che sento. Ora voglio un solo stimolo.